Blog Talk Radio.
Matthew Stafford says the Lions offense will be tougher to defend without Megatron. You have found the NFC North preview edition of the Fantasy Flex.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Flex. I am Nate, over on Twitter, at Miller_RotoDad. Where can the people find you, Brad Wallace?
They can find me at UGA Good on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Okay, before we get going with our preview of the NFC North, Brad, have you tried out the FanUp Network app yet?
Not yet, Nate, I haven't.
Okay, we'll get on it. Those guys over there have developed a fantasy football tool that tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms while saving you time. You can now download it for Apple and Google devices by simply searching for FanUp. That's FANUP. Now, on to some NFC North projections. Now, Brad, I know exactly what your fellow UGA alum Matt Stafford was trying to get across when he said that the Lions offense might be tougher to defend without Calvin Johnson. He's talking about predictability and thinking that his offense this year will be less predictable as they don't go to a star like Calvin Johnson quite as much. I would offer up that, Stafford, maybe that's your inability to stop staring down a number one receiver. You're the one throwing the ball back there. You could have gone to some of your other weapons. The running game has never really developed behind you, but I would say this: no offense is easier to defend without a once in a generation talent like Calvin Johnson. Brad, am I wrong, or is Matt Stafford? I mean, what's up with this guy?
You're not wrong, Nate. I think Matt Stafford is in for a little bit of an adjustment period in that Detroit Lions offense without Calvin Johnson, one of the greatest of all time at the wide receiver position. So, it's going to take some adjustment, and hopefully he can stop staring down receivers and learn to spread the ball around a little bit better.
So I'm not crazy in thinking this guy is like, look, you're the biggest reason that the offense was predictable, correct?
No, you're definitely not crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, look, dude, you're the one getting the ball every play. You could have changed something. I mean, this is a star wide receiver. I'm not going to sit and tell you to throw away from the likes of Calvin Johnson. You're in a panic. I mean, the offense, he's the feature of the offense, especially with a weak running game. But to that effect, I mean, is Matt Stafford, is he in – can he actually get better without Calvin?
Yeah, there's a chance he could. It just all depends on, you know, what he decides to do. If he does get better at, you know, not panicking and spreading the ball around, given that he doesn't have that freak athletic specimen, you know, in Megatron in their offense anymore, there's a chance he may do that, or he may, you know, stare down Golden Tate. I think it's a 50-50 shot, honestly.
All right. Well, where do you have Matt Stafford stacking up amongst other NFL quarterbacks going into the season?
Matt Stafford comes in at 18 in my quarterback rankings. He hasn't missed a game since 2010, and we started three games that season. But he's thrown for at least 4,200 yards and 20 touchdowns in each of the last five seasons. I've got him projected at 4,000 passing yards and 30 touchdowns for the season.
All right, all right. Well, I'm actually a little higher on him after poking a little fun at him there. This guy does have talent. He, like you said, he's thrown for tons of yards. And a lot of that goes to the Lions not really ever having a running game behind him to speak of. And I think, you know, Golden Tate has been a good receiver for him the last couple of years opposite Calvin Johnson, and even in some games where Calvin Johnson was injured. Golden Tate really stepped up. They brought in Marvin Jones from Cincinnati. He's not even close to a Calvin Johnson type talent, but he is a big target, especially down the red zone. He has some potential. How are these two guys going to stack up? I think Stafford, they're going to rely on him. He's the big money guy. I think Tate and Jones could maybe both go for 1,000 yards this season. What do you think?
One more thing on Stafford. I think he does have that top 15, maybe even borderline top 10 quarterback upside. He very sneakily finished in the top 10 last season. I think he finished 9th overall in fantasy among quarterbacks. So I see where you're going with Stafford. He's got that potential. As far as Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, I think they'll be effective. I have Golden Tate coming in at 22 in my wide receiver rankings, and then Marvin Jones down at 39. Golden Tate has only had over 1,000 yards once in his career. He's had at least 90 receptions in each season since he's been with the Lions these past two seasons. So he definitely gets a lot of targets. So he has the potential with Calvin Johnson being gone now and stepping into that wide receiver one role to have a big season. He's definitely going to go over 1,000 receiving yards. I think he'll only catch about 6 touchdowns, though. Marvin Jones, he's never had a 1,000-yard season in his entire career. He had a career-high 10 touchdowns in 2013, and I think in this new offense, he's got a good chance to try to recreate some of that red zone and end zone magic from 2013. I think there's potential for both of those wide receivers to have good seasons. It just depends really on, I think, how Matt Stafford adapts to life without Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, and again, I think Stafford is – I think it's just going to be a case of he has to throw and throw and throw, and Tate and Jones are going to be the top two guys. I think – I like Jones as a red zone target there. Let's put into perspective some of the reasons. He probably doesn't have a 1,000-yard season in his career. Has to do with lining up opposite a guy like A.J. Green in Cincinnati, perhaps. But I can see Jones getting right around, maybe pushing that 1,000-yard mark, maybe double-digit touchdowns. I see him as a wide receiver 3 in a 12-team standard league, with maybe a little more upside than that. Golden Tate, I like your projection on him. I think you're pretty sure you said 22 in there. That makes him right in that number 2 receiver in a 12-team standard league. But I would offer one more thing about Golden Tate. I tend to like PPR a little bit more than yourself, I believe. And Golden Tate is one of those that definitely jumps up in the rankings in a PPR, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, at least 90 receptions both seasons since he's been with the Lions. He's probably going to top 100 this season, I bet. So, yeah, PPR monster for sure.
Yeah, I see that too. Let's talk about one more weapon that I keep hearing some buzz about him being a potential breakout guy. Eric Ebron, the tight end. Where do you have him stacking up? I'm kind of in that he's definitely top half of the tight ends in the league. So let's say 32 starting tight ends. I'm going to put him in the top 16.
I'm not as high on him as you. He's coming into his third season in the league. I have him right at 20 in my tight end rankings. I'm just not as big on Ebron as you. He may have top 15 tight end upside, but I don't see him being more than at highest that third target for Matt Stafford in the offense, and possibly even dropping down to 4th if he, you know, if Theo Riddick sees more looks than Ebron. So top 15 tight end potential. I don't think he's going to reach that, though. I've got him at 20 in my tight end ranking.
All right. Okay. Well, you brought up Theo Riddick in that backfield. I want to talk about the guy, I guess. I mean, he is the lead back. That seems to be the case here. Second-year guy out of Nebraska, Amir Abdullah. Is he going to turn into a feature back, or is this kind of a – is he a guy who's not going to really carry a load? I mean, below 15 carries a game I think is pretty safe for him in that offense. What can he do with it? Is he a running back too in a 12-team standard league?
You said Amir Abdullah, right?
Yeah.
Or did you say Theo?
That's
okay.
Who I was.
Ameer Abdullah. That whole Lions offense, I'm really down on as a whole, and I think they're gonna try to run the ball more. I still think they're gonna struggle.
Yeah, so I'm not high.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not high on Ameer Abdullah. Ameer Abdullah is not in my top 25. I don't think he's close. And yeah, I think he might hit around that 700 yard rushing 100 rushing yard mark. Yeah, I don't see him being that productive. Maybe on certain matchups he might be a flex starter, but I just don't see it. The talent's
well,
there.
He caught 25. Yeah. He caught 25 balls last year. I mean, 183 yards. He's got big playability. Could he be more valuable in a PPR? I think you got him right in that flex range, right?
Yeah, I think Theo Riddick, if you're looking for a PPR back in that Lions offense, is who you definitely want to go with.
Yeah.
He had 80 receptions for 697 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns last season. And I think that could even go up this year. So Theo Riddick is definitely the PPR back that you want in that Lions offense.
Well, I'm interested to see where you go here, talking about Abdullah or NFC North running backs as a whole. What about Chicago's Jeremy Langford? How you feeling this guy? I mean, Langford or Abdullah? I think you're pretty low on both of them, but give us your projections for Langford going into the season.
Yeah, I'm really not feeling either of these running backs, Nate. But Jeremy Langford is higher in my rankings. Well, he makes my rankings. He rounds out my top 25 at number 25. But yeah, I'm down on both these backs, specifically reasons why for Jeremy Langford. He only averaged 3.6 yards per carry last season.
Yeah.
Langford, you know, you would think he's a pretty good receiving weapon, or at least, you know, I had him on a few rosters last year and I watched him a lot and he looked like he was, you know, more effective, but the stats just don't back it. He had 40 targets, and those 40 targets were 29th most at the position. Yet he had 8 drops, and they were also the most among running backs. That's a 26% drop rate, which is the worst in the NFL among 55 or 57 qualified running backs. I'm down Jeremy Langford. Plus adding in that Chicago has said multiple times that they want to run a committee. They're going to have a committee backfield. Jordan Howard, I think, is going to – that rookie running back is going to start to see a good share of touches. And, yeah, I think Chicago is also in general, though they want to run the ball, I think they're going to struggle to run the ball. So, yeah, I'm down on Jeremy Langford.
Yeah, and you talk about that backfield committee. I mean, maybe the aptly named Kadeem Carey gets in on the action too.
He very well named.
I think I'm picking up on what you're putting down about the Bears offense as a whole. They're going to favor the pass, right?
I think so. I think they're going to have to.
And who does that bring in?
Oh, our favorite. We love to talk about Jay Cutler.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here a minute. Let me just say this. 10 seasons under this guy's belt, 33 years old now. 67-67 regular season records, not great. He's going to take a lot of flack for that, kind of fading away in games, not a lot of clutch ability. I hear that. But we don't really care about wins and losses from quarterbacks too much in fantasy football. But we do care about 62% completion, over 31,000 yards in his career. Surprisingly enough, 204 touchdowns to 141 interceptions. Those aren't terrible numbers, Brad. Why do you scoff at Jay Cutler?
Let's bring you crashing back down to the earth. Jay Cutler hasn't played in all 16 games since 2009. He's only thrown single-digit interceptions in 2 seasons, and in both of those seasons, he played less than 11 games. He's only thrown for 4,000-plus yards once. That was in 2008. And last 2 seasons, his best career touchdown interception rate was plus 10. So only in his most recent 2 seasons has he thrown 10 more touchdowns than interceptions. Every other season, his touchdowns have barely been above his interceptions. Yeah, I think Jay Cutler may have some deep sleeper potential, and he may be useful in a best ball league scenario. But in standards, I'm staying away from the guy. I have him at 24th in my quarterback rankings. So maybe a fringe 2 QB, you know, number 2 QB.
So let me ask you this. You don't like Jay Cutler.
I don't have anything against him personally.
Okay. I don't like him either. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not starting him in a 40-team league. What I am interested to see if Jay Cutler can do is make Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White both stud receivers this season. I think he can, and I'm going to contest those two guys, talent-wise, might be the top tandem in the league. Am I high for thinking that?
Maybe as of right now, most people would think you're high, but given their talent, and you know, I think Jay Cutler is competent enough to facilitate two top 15 wide receivers in fantasy. So the potential is definitely there. I'm kind of high on Kevin White. I think he's I like the talent. I think he's going to fit well into that system. I think you'll see a little bit of a similar situation like they had in Chicago a couple years ago with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. I think these two receivers could mirror that. Yeah, definitely. Kevin White, he comes in at 34 in my wide receiver rankings, and Alshon Jeffrey comes in at 10. So, I think they both are going to have really good seasons. Alshon Jeffrey, he had 807 yards and 4 touchdowns in only 9 games last year. That was a career high, 89.7 yards per game. That put him on pace, if he'd stayed healthy, to have his career best year. So, given health, Alshon Jeffrey could finish as a top 5 wide receiver.
Yeah. That's exactly where I'm thinking. I will say your projections are probably right in line for what should be expected right now, ranking-wise, and I'm going to say Jeffrey and White both have upside beyond that. I think they can both finish the season. If you're talking about 12-team leagues, let's go 24 receivers deep. That's kind of, in my view, that's your number one and number two receivers, the top 24. And I think both of them can finish in that range. But as I said, I'm saying they're the most talented duo of wide receivers in the NFC North, and not just there, but the entire NFL. They have a chance to be that, talent-wise. Now, some people are going to immediately scoff at me and say, what about the Packers? Jordy Nelson, back from the ACL injury that cost him all of last season. Randall Cobb. I think you're going to favor those two guys over White and Jeffrey, but let's hear your take, Brad.
Yeah, as of right now, until I see Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White step up to the plate, yeah, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb definitely have to be the best tandem of wide receivers in the NFC North. Jordy Nelson only missed 7 career games before last season, and he only has 1 career fumble. In each of the last 5 seasons, he's had at least 1,200 yards when he's played all 16 games. I think Jordy Nelson is, you know, due for a monster bounce-back season, and he has definite top 5 wide receiver potential that I think you could get in the second round.
Yeah, and Randall Cobb, I mean, a lot of people were high. As soon as Nelson got injured last season, a lot of people were saying, Randall Cobb with, you know, that quarterback up there in Green Bay, Randall Cobb's going to be a clear number one. I think he disappointed just a bit. I don't really think this guy is a number one in an offense. He's a hell of a number two. And do you think he can finish right in that wide receiver two range again?
Oh, yeah. Randall Cobb is definitely not a wide receiver one. But now with Jordy Nelson back, he can set back into that number two receiver role where he thrives. And, yeah, I think he's going to have a monster bounce-back season. He's inside my top 20, comes in at 19 in my wide receiver rankings. I've got him projected at 1,000 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns.
All right. And the Packers, I mean, like I said, that quarterback up there, he's going to work with quite a bit of depth at wide receiver, and you could just go down that list. I mean, watch the Packers early on, especially in preseason. see which ones, Davante Adams, Janis, Aberderis, even Ty Montgomery. Who does Aaron Rodgers start going to? Because the Packers could honestly be three or four receivers deep with fantasy relevancy. But I want to talk about their pretty much their big free agent acquisition in the offseason. Really the only one, veteran tight end Jared Cook. This guy between the Titans and Rams the last five seasons has averaged 47 receptions for over 600 yards and three touchdowns. He hasn't had a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. What about Jared Cook? I'm kind of feeling this guy, like I said about Eric Ebron, he could break into the top half of tight ends in the league, I believe.
Oh, he definitely has that potential. He's a surefire sleeper at tight end. Jared Cook has actually never had more than 52 receptions in a season. I think with Aaron Rodgers slinging that rock, I think there's a very good chance that he could top that this year if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I'm high on Cook. I'm not sure I would take him just yet as a top 12 tight end in drafts, being a number one in a standard format like that. But if it gets beyond 12, I'm going to really start thinking about him as a number one tight end. Now, you've said his name. I haven't said his name yet, but, yeah, we all know who the quarterback in Green Bay is, Aaron Rodgers. Let me just give you some numbers on him for what people called a down season. 60.7 completion percentage, 3,821 yards, 31-8 touchdown to INT, and he's always good for those rushing yards, almost 350 of them last season. Is he about to even – explode beyond those numbers and what some people call a disappointment?
No, I definitely think so. Yeah, last season was the first time since 2010 that he didn't throw for 4,000 plus yards. That's excluding 2013 when he only played nine games due to an injury. I think Jordy Nelson being injured was a big factor that hindered that entire offense. And you can obviously throw in Eddie Lacy's struggles. They're going to bounce back in a big way. Rodgers has also rushed for at least 200 yards every season that he has started at least 15 games, and he has single-digit interceptions in all but two seasons since he became the starter in 2008. He does not turn the ball over. If I have a chance to take a quarterback early, it will be Rodgers and only Rodgers. Other than that, I'm waiting on quarterback. I have him as my number one quarterback. I just moved him above Cam Newton. So high on Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to throw 4,800 passing yards, 40 touchdowns, and add in another 250 rushing yards and a couple on the ground.
Well, with all those numbers in mind, what is that going to leave for what some people think is a big bounce back candidate? What some people think is like, I don't want any more of this guy. He pissed me off last year. A trimmed down version of Eddie Lacy. With all those numbers coming from Aaron Rodgers' arm, what does that leave for Eddie Lacy? And is he back to an RB1?
I think so. The recent P90X grad, Eddie Lacy, hopefully this season he can stay away from the China food and keep in shape as the season progresses. I have him coming in at number 10 in my running back rankings that I updated as of yesterday. He's going to bounce back. Last season, he averaged 4.1 yards per carry, which is only 0.2 of a point less than his career average. He just had less carries last season. He only had 187 carries after having 284 in 2013 and 246 in 2014. So his efficiency really wasn't down. They just didn't give him the ball, whether it be him being out of shape, getting tired on the sidelines, or just his off-field issues. I know he was late to a couple team meetings. Hopefully he is focused, and I think he's going to bounce back.
Brad, with all that said, I'm going to ask you a personal question here. Are you telling me that you are sleeping on some egg rolls and sesame chicken? I'm just saying.
No, you know I'm not. I just hope Eddie Lacy decides to do that a few times.
Yeah, because nobody's relying on us for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, right?
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting paid millions to tote the rock.
Okay.
I'd like to.
Eddie Lacy's handcuffs in Green Bay, James Starks. It seems like he's been there forever backing up whatever running back the Packers have had. He put up 993 total yards of offense last year. If Eddie Lacy starts struggling again, or even if he doesn't, is James Starks relevant in drafts, or is he just kind of a guy, I'll draft Lacy, I'll draft him too, I'll handcuff him. What is Starks going to do, and is he going to be fantasy relevant to that standard 12-team league?
Well, as of right now, I think James Starks is just going to be an Eddie Lacy handcuff. Yeah, he was productive, had 993 total yards last year, but that was when Eddie Lacy was not getting near as many touches as I think he's going to get this year. But if Lacy comes out and struggles, has issues staying in shape and conditioned, there's a chance that Starks, yeah, he could – have over 1,000 total yards, but I just don't see it happening. I'm confident in the Eddie Lacy bounce back, and I think Starks is just your handcuff for him.
All right. And I know what some of you must be thinking out there. How have we gotten this far on NFC North running backs without talking about Adrian Peterson? That's right, the 31-year-old running back. He's coming off a season where he still led the NFL in rushing yards, in attempts by a long shot, and tied for the lead at 11 rushing touchdowns. Brad, I'm seeing some regression from Adrian Peterson. I'm not saying he's out of my top five and that he's not still a potential first-round pick. But I see him about to hit, if not hit the wall, he's approaching it at age 31. Where do you have AP going into next season?
I think Adrian Peterson's got one more season before he starts to show his age a little bit. In his nine-year career, he's only rushed for less than 1,200 yards in two seasons. That was in 2011, where he only played 12 games, and 2014, where he only played one and was suspended the rest of the season. He's had 10-plus touchdowns every year, save for 2014. So that means in that 12-game season, he even had double-digit touchdowns. I think Adrian Peterson has the safest floor among all your top running backs that will be going in the first round. And I think he's still going to hit 1,300 yards on the ground, rack up 10 touchdowns, and maybe throw in 200 receiving yards. Adrian Peterson is still my number one running back for one more season.
Okay. I have to look at it a little closer. I think he's definitely in the discussion still for number one running back. Second year guy, Todd Gurley, maybe. Anyway, I'm gonna leave it to you. I think he does have enough production left in him to finish right up there in those top handful of running backs for the season. So yeah, I'm okay with what you're saying there. But let's talk about his handcuff a little bit too. Some people are getting, I'm hearing some buzz around this guy. Jerick McKinnon, what can he offer, and is he just basically a handcuff that you might want to pick up for your bench if you have an open spot and on Adrian Peterson? Or does he actually have some kind of PPR, you know, deeper league value?
I think he's definitely a handcuff, probably one of the most important handcuffs that you will draft this season. If Peterson does hit that wall, start to struggle a little bit, McKinnon's a freak athlete, and he has very good pass-catching ability. So instantly, he has an uptick in PPR leagues. I think even with Adrian Peterson staying healthy and as productive as he usually is and has been most of his career, I think McKinnon could have some deep league flex value in PPRs. Because I think he's still, even though Adrian Peterson has said that he is working on his route running and pass catching abilities, he's never been that great at catching the rock. So I think McKinnon will come in on third down every now and then and see some touches. So I think he has some value there. But for me, in the standard league, he's a handcuff. But I think he may be that most important handcuff that you want to own.
Yeah, I hear that. That's the Vikings running game in a nutshell, really. And I think we're pretty much of the idea that they're going to favor that running game pretty heavily, right?
Oh, yeah. They definitely are going to try to pound the rock down every defense's throat.
And moving on to their quarterback, the young guy, Teddy Bridgewater. I liked what I saw from him last season. kind of playing second fiddle to that heavy run attack led by Adrian Peterson. But Bridgewater, I mean, he completed over 65% of his passes last year, over 3,200 yards, but only 14 touchdowns. I'm liking what I'm seeing from him as a Sunday quarterback, but I'm not very high on him. He may uptick a bit, but he's kind of your maybe a bye week replacement, or maybe even skipping there. We're not expecting much from Bridgewater from a fantasy standpoint this year outside of really deep leagues, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Maybe he might have some value in two quarterback leagues or really, really deep leagues. But I'm on the same page with you. I think he could be a bye week fill-in given the matchup. I do think his efficiency last season was really good. He doesn't have the volume to be a consistent fantasy, you know, starter. You know, adding a Laquon Treadwell, giving him a, you know, another weapon in that receiving core, that could, you know, maybe lead to a little bit better fantasy production. I just don't think it's going to be enough as much as they want to run the ball to warrant, you know, taking Teddy Bridgewater, drafting him at all. So yeah, he's just a deep league quarterback, two quarterback league guy for me.
Yeah. You brought up Treadwell, the rookie first-rounder out of Ole Miss. Now, he's a big target. He's got all kind of physical tools. I believe his talent level makes him a number one. I think he's going to be the number one for the Vikings, maybe right off the bat, all due respect to Stephon Diggs. He just doesn't have the ability or the talent level upside of a Treadwell. But what about fantasy relevance for Treadwell? Can he get 1,000 yards from Teddy Bridgewater?
I think he has that upside. I don't think he's going to get 1,000 yards just because I don't think that offense is going to throw the ball enough for him to. He comes in at number 44 in my wide receiver rankings. 6'2", 220 out of Ole Miss, ran a 4.65 at 40 at his pro day. You're right, he definitely has the physical skills and tools to be that number one wide receiver in the NFL. I just don't think it's necessarily going to translate into fantasy production this season. I think he's going to hit about 700 or 800 receiving yards and, you know, maybe catch, you know, four or five touchdowns. Stephon Diggs, you know, he's not as talented, doesn't have the God-given freak, you know, size, you know, or strength, but he has really polished route running ability. So, again, though, that Vikings offense, not really fantasy friendly for the wide receivers. So, he's well outside of my top 50.
Yeah, I don't mind taking Trev in a redraft league. I don't mind him as maybe a number three if you're going to go real strong at quarterback and running back in your top two receivers. I don't mind him there, but I put him on my bench, wait and see approach in a redraft. In a dynasty league, I like him a lot as a keeper prospect simply because we already talked about it. Adrian Peterson, he's going to fall off at some point. And Bridgewater's, hopefully he keeps developing. Treadwell could turn into a stud wide receiver down the road. Anyway, Brad, let's let that take us right to my favorite segment. We're a little bit of summary of what we want to do here. It's digging into those deeper leagues, especially ones that play with a flex spot. Talk about one player from each team that maybe people are overlooking a bit, and do they have any relevancy in a flex spot? Okay, Brad, let's start with a guy we've touched on briefly here. Flex on or flex off for Vikings backup running back Jerick McKinnon?
In the standard league, flex off.
All right, what about in those deeper PPR leagues?
Yeah, in a deeper PPR, I think he has some flex potential. So, also, I mean, and he's one Adrian Peterson injury away from being well above a flex. So,
sure.
Definitely draftable.
All right. I think I know where you're going with this one. I like this guy. I used him last year, and I think he could be bigger this year as well as you. Theo Riddick, flex on or flex off?
Oh, flex on. Yeah, 80 receptions and 697 yards last year. Has people salivating, and he's going to catch a lot of balls in that Lions offense. Yeah, definitely flex on for Theo Riddick.
I take part in a 20-team PPR every year. Let me tell you, I actually had Theo Riddick in a running back spot last year. He's just a monster in that PPR because they just dump the ball and dump the ball off to him one time after another. Especially
that's
on
their running
third
game.
Short. Yeah. Packers receiving core. Kind of mentioned him earlier, not much, but this guy's disappointed some folks. They're waiting on that breakout. It's never really happened, and now Jordy Nelson is back. Davante Adams, flex on or flex off?
Oh, flex off, definitely. 94 targets, only 50 receptions last year. Injury problems and concerns? No. Flex off, Davante Adams.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Bad taste in so many people's mouths that wanted a breakout from him last year when Jordy Nelson was not in the mix. One more, and this is the guy. Don't laugh. I'm laughing at myself. Chicago, Eddie Royal. That depth chart has him listed as their starting slot receiver. Does he have any flex appeal?
No, flex off for Eddie Royal. It's going to take an injury to one of those starting two receivers, Kevin White or Alshon Jeffrey, for him to have fantasy value, at least in a standard. Maybe a very deep league, he could have some flex potential, but or you know those best ball formats, because Eddie Royal all of a sudden comes out of nowhere once or twice a season, has two really good games and then disappears. So, but in a standard, flex off.
Even last year, I believe he hit two games with seven receptions. I mean, not for much yards, but I mean, a couple years in San Diego before last year, Phillip Rivers was finding him in the red zone. Who knows? I'm not paying attention to this guy. let's not talk too much about him.
Yeah.
So that'll about wrap it up for our NFC North preview. Brad, give us one last bit of fantasy football advice relevant to this division.
If Eddie Lacy left a bad taste in your mouth last year, try to forget about it. He's going to be eating less China food, recent P90X grad. He's going to bounce back in a big way this year, and it's not going to be his waist size. Eddie Lacy, draft him.
Yeah, I think you're just reiterating something you've already said. I'm thinking I might see you in some leagues with Eddie Lacy in a running back spot, huh?
Yeah, it's a good chance.
All right. As always, you can hit us up with comments and criticism or anything else over on Twitter at FantasyFlexPod. Also, feel free to listen to all our episodes at your preference on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Until we return with some analysis on the AFC North, I'm Nate, that's Brad.
The flex is strong with this one.
Star Wars references.